You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, joined by Jordan Bastian. And the Indians are in the final week of a season that's had, boy, a lot of ups and downs. And you got to give this team credit for going into that final week with something to play for, despite some notable injuries and just unforeseen circumstances. Jordan, you've you watched all those ups and downs play out. A really tough day on Monday where the Indians had a chance to get within 1.5 games of a wild card spot and took a tough loss and a shutout on a night where Carlos Carrasco pitched so well. But, you know, what I guess the overall tone of this team at this point, are they just in that happy to be here mode or, just given all the uncertainties they've endured?
You know, I think it's kind of twofold. There's right now a lot of disappointment, you know, especially if you talk to guys like, you know, Kipnis, who were a part of that wild card game a year ago, and, you know, they can feel how close they were to doing something similar again this year, despite all the issues and inconsistencies and injuries and things they've gone through this year. And so I think it's twofold in the sense that there's that disappointment of they're so close and it doesn't look like it's going to become a reality. But then again, there's some satisfaction in the fact that given all the issues, you know, they are where they are, and they were in a position to contend for a wild card with a week to go, with a lot of rookies in the lineup, you know, with guys, you know, who were banged up and kind of forced to the bench and, you know, putting guys in the lineup that maybe necessarily wouldn't be there otherwise, and, you know, doing it with without Nick Swisher in the lineup, who missed a big chunk of the second half after two knee surgeries and, you know, after trading away guys who at the start of the season you thought were going to be key cogs. Drubal Cabrera, Justin Masterson, they weren't here in the second half. So, you know, a lot of things went wrong this year, and yet there they were right on the cusp of being a wild card contender. And I think there is some satisfaction along those lines and, you know, kind of gives them that hope going forward that, hey, if we can contend with this group at the end, you know, if we have the full team healthy and maybe some additional pieces next year, you know, what's it going to be like then? So I think that's kind of the feeling right now around the team.
Yeah, there'll probably be that feeling of, boy, if we could have gotten in October with this rotation, you know, who knows what they might have accomplished. It's not too dissimilar from that 2005 team that fell just short of playoff berth and kind of had that same feel, just the way the rotation was pitching down the stretch then as well. But obviously you have to score some runs as well, and Monday night was kind of an example of the way this lineup can really go quiet, you know, against certain pitchers or on certain nights. And a lot of that comes down to having to start some young guys at pivotal spots. You know, obviously not an ideal situation, but, you know, I'm sure this offseason there'll be a lot of talk of, you know, what they can do to improve that offense. But, you know, one guy who I don't think gets enough attention for kind of the middle-of-the-order bat he's become, you know, he's been so important to this team both behind the plate and at the plate, is Yan Gomes. You know, last year, obviously a really surprising season on both fronts. You know, this year you wondered if he could sustain that, and I'd say in some ways he's even improved offensively.
Yeah, he's been a big kind of godsend to this team. You know, you remember the last few years, the question was always, you know, what are they going to do with Carlos Santana? Well, they now have acquired a guy who has emerged as one of the top catchers in the American League. There's really no more question about what you do with Santana. He's their first baseman. You know, that question's been solved. There's no longer a need to have him behind the plate, especially with a rookie like Roberto Perez, who's come up and, you know, been exactly what you need out of a backup catcher. But Gomes has really emerged as a potent bat. He's got a really strong arm. His caught stealing rate is one of the best in the American League. He's got a pile of errors, but if you go back and look at him, it's kind of two parts. It's one, there's some plays that, you know, maybe if his infielders knock it down, you know, maybe they don't get charged as errors, and, you know, we know the defensive issues that this team has dealt with all year. And on the other side of that, you know, if you look at the individual plays that led to errors, many of them are just those really over-aggressive plays where, it'd be an awesome play if he gets it done and he does, and the ball sails into the outfield or whatever, and you can look back in hindsight and say, oh, man, that was bad. He should have done that. But at the same time, you see the aggressiveness and you see why he has such a good caught stealing rate. And he's also developed into a great game caller and leading that pitching staff. You know, if you look at pitch framing numbers, he's right up there near the top. So they got this guy to a really club-friendly extension after just seeing him for basically the second half last year as their starter. And, you know, he's lived up to it this year and shown that, you know, they might have, you know, kind of a key cog there behind the plate for, you know, the next foreseeable future.
The offense here down the stretch is just kind of at a point where, you know, they're just kind of waiting to get Brantley and Santana and Gomes up to the plate. Those guys have been really the bulk of their offense here. And, you know, sticking with Brantley for a second, I mean, he's not going to win the AL MVP. That's pretty obvious. But I think it's also equally obvious he's been the MVP of this particular club. You know, going into the final week, if you look at an advanced stat like weighted runs created plus, he's second only to Mike Trout. I don't know if a lot of people nationally realize that. You know, this guy, as much as it looks like the season is not going to turn out as hoped, that extension they signed this guy to before the season looks like a gold mine.
Yeah, it does. It's interesting. He's got a chance, you know, this last couple games here to finish with 100 RBIs. You know, he's coming within earshot of 100 runs, 40-plus doubles, 20 homers, 20 steals. He's sitting above 320. Closing in on 200 hits. I mean, it's a really almost old-timey statistical line, you know, where I looked it up. Guys who hit all those plateaus in baseball history, you've got Jacoby Ellsbury in 2011, and then he's the only guy. And then if you remove needing 20-plus homers, you're going back to the 1930s, 1920s, those types of players. So he's really emerged as this, you know, really high contact, but now adding power to his game. And that's really turned him into a big threat. So, yeah, I've joked around that they should create a Mike Trout Award and just give it to the runner-up in the AL MVP race. Because he's right there. I think Victor Martinez is a guy who is going to get some serious consideration, especially with the, you know, drastic home runs compared to strikeouts stat that he has and what he's meant to that Tigers lineup. But Brantley's right there, and he's almost in that same type of mold where, you know, he's tough to strike out. And now he's developing power that some people didn't actually think he would develop. So he's been probably one of the biggest developments for this team, especially in a season when, you know, as we've mentioned, Swisher wasn't there. Kipnis hasn't performed up to expectations. Bourne had another year below what we consider his standards to be. So Brantley's just been a blessing for that offense. And, you know, it's hard to imagine where that lineup would be without him right there in the middle.
Yeah, the power was obviously late blossoming, something the Indians, when they first acquired him, they thought would be there. It took some time to come, and certainly came in a hurry. And the other guy with so much power there in the middle of the order is Carlos Santana, who you made the point the other day that, you know, we'd have to research this, but how many guys who hit 230 have the season of this high of impact? Another advanced stat, you could look at OPS Plus, which kind of looks at things according to the league average. He's been 28 points above league average this season. Hit 22 home runs, driven 82 runs. So not bad for a 230 hitter.
Yeah, and it's, what's amazing is he was a 150 hitter for 2 months. So, I mean, that's, his season's pretty incredible in the sense of if you could have a comeback player of the year for within the confines of one season, I mean, he'd be right there, you know, because he was so awful. I mean, let's face it, the first couple months, you know, people were wondering, why is this guy still in the cleanup spot? You know, he was obviously dealing with the bouncing between third base and catching at that point. He didn't really have a positional home. That was bothering him. He's dealt with a quad injury throughout the season that he's played through. But, yeah, still 27 homers, you know, closing in on 90 RBIs, 100-plus walks leading the majors. You know, it's a guy that really turned his season around. And, you know, is given that he's a switch hitter, too, you know, it's perfect for that cleanup spot, the way the Indians lineup is constructed, you know, especially as you know how Francona loves to go left, right, left, right, left, right as much as he can. So yeah, that's been a great development this year that he was able to pull himself out of that early season funk and really kind of, as you now forecast the 2015, you're not really worrying about him because of what he was able to do over the final 4 months of the season.
And we mentioned Brantley, probably, you know, no shot at the MVP. We all understand Mike Trout's the lead dog there. And But the Cy Young Award race is probably more interesting than people might give it credit for at this point. I think there's been an assumption Felix Hernandez takes that. That could come down to how he finishes, though, because Corey Kluber's really pushed him, especially the way he's finishing so strong, doing some sensational things on the strikeout front that the game just hasn't seen much in its long history. So where do you come out? I know, you know, you're going to – you follow the Indians. You're with the Indians, so it's natural to lean toward them a little bit when you see Kluber as much as you do. But I think there's a really good argument there for Kluber and Cy Young at this point.
Definitely. And I don't know which way I'd vote right now. I mean, really, if you look at it, it's like, man, I need to see those two pitchers have their final starts because they're that close. And I think if people look at just the ERA, they're going to go, oh, it's not that close. Felix has a, you know, a half-run lead on him or whatever. But when you really start to look into the defensive difference between the Mariners and the Indians, you look at the park factors, and you look at the fielding independent pitching stat, you know, it all tilts toward Kluber in the fact that he's put up these numbers with one of the worst defenses in the league and not as pitcher-friendly a park as Safeco. So it's an interesting argument right now. I think they're really, really, really close, and I think it'll be interesting to see whether the vote is split because it's that close statistically, or if people, because of the name recognition of Felix, the fact that he already has an award in his trophy case, the fact that the Mariners are a little higher in the standings, you know, is that, are those elements going to outweigh some of the advanced stats that you kind of have to look at to see that, hey, maybe Kluber's above them. There's a difference of war between Baseball Reference and Fangraphs. One has Kluber is the best in baseball, even above Kershaw. That'd be Fangraphs, and then you go to Baseball Reference, and it has him, I believe, third. So there's some difference between the advanced stats that you look at. But, man, it's so close right now. And I think, you know, just because of the defensive difference, I might lean towards Kluber. And that's not just because I've covered him all year. I just think I've covered the Indians' defense all year, and that's what's made it amazing that he's been able to do what he's done.
Yeah, that's the thing that's harder to quantify. But, yeah, if you watch the season play out, this tried pitching's had to overcome a lot on the defensive front. Last thing quickly here, the other great debate that it sounds like you had an inspired debate with Bart Swain, the PR man, and the rest of the guys in the press box. Rookie of the year for a team that's relied so heavily on some young guys down the stretch, it's a particularly pertinent question. But who's your rookie of the year on this club?
Man, and that's tough. Then that's why, because I, you know, I'm working on some season end stuff, and I thought TJ House. Because of what he's done, the kind of the value of his innings and what he's done within his, I think he's around 100 innings on the season, and how he really shored up that fifth spot, became that last cog of the rotation to kind of hold it together. And then there was a lot of argument about Trevor Bauer because he's pitched 50 more innings. But if you look at it, you know, the volume of innings outweighs what House has given, but maybe the production within those innings hasn't been as consistent. But then again, he's like the three or the four guy in the rotation. So there's a lot of argument going back and forth between which pitcher was actually more valuable to that rotation. And I think it's a toss-up. You could just, you know, put your vote on either one of those guys, and it's fine. And you wouldn't be wrong, and, you know, the other person wouldn't be wrong either. I also think Jose Ramirez is right there, what he's done defensively at shortstop since his Drupal was traded away. You know, he's kind of, you know, he's had some miscues here or there over the last week, but on the whole, he's been a really big surprise at short, and, you know, has really upgraded the defense up the middle. And then obviously Kyle Crockett, kind of an unheralded member of that 8-man, 11-man, 12-man bullpen, whatever it is now. He's got an ERA under 2. He's had an ERA under 2 since he was drafted, and he was only drafted last year, I believe. So he was the first guy for his draft to make it to the big leagues from any team. And he's fit right in that bullpen, helping with that lefty matchups and kind of ease some of the burden off a veteran guy like Mark Szczepanski. So he's been valuable too. But I think right now I'd lean towards House, but I understand the argument that because Bauer has been there longer and provided more innings, you know, you might say that his contributions have been the better of the two.
Well, I'm with you. I'd go with House just on the merit of his, you know, consistency he's shown these last few months. And I guess the good thing for the Indians is that both of those guys, both him and Bauer, are in the conversation, and they're probably in that 2015 rotation, which is really shaping up to be a beast. So that the Indians will kind of go in the offseason, assuming they don't make a crazy run here late. They'll go in the offseason with that hopeful note, that optimistic note, and we'll leave it there on this podcast. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank Jordan Bastian for joining us. It's been MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game streamed live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.